Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 326, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah! Production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And it is Wednesday, February 21st, 2024. Good buddy.
2-1.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what that is?
Nope.
Only 2 days today, National Grain Free Day. That came from a company that does grain free food.
Quinoa, or no, quinoa is a grain, I guess.
Big legume.
Big legume.
Probably.
Big
legume.
Bean.
Got their legumey hands all over this one. And also National Sticky Bun Day. That feels a little bit more broad, you know, if you like a sticky bun. I guess that's just a cinnamon roll that has nuts on it.
Honey-based cinnamon roll? That's always kind of
no. The picture has pecans on what looks like on top.
Yeah, I think those go in there too.
Or I guess maybe a sticky bun is just a cinnamon roll, and that's they all just work together.
Any bun that is sticky, we will take you.
Yes.
My name's Jack O'Brien, aka Let's Talk About Checks, Baby. Let's talk about airport greed. Let's talk about all the pretzels and bagel chips that we eat. Let's talk about checks. That's courtesy of Fighter of the Nightman on the Discord, talking about the airport checks mix, price index mix. The Economist has the Big Mac price index. Mm-hmm. Well, the people have the airport checks mix, price index mix.
There we go.
Documenting how greedy corporations can get when they've got us right where they want us, folks. Mm-hmm. Not able to shop around for our checks mix like I do on the outside. When I'm not at airport, I'll go to like 3-4 locations comparing checks mix prices before I finally pull the trigger. But the airports, they got
you're like, let me go check, and then you try and haggle. You're like, you know, over at Hudson Bay, they got them for a buck less. I don't know. You do a price match or no? All right. No?
You're not doing that? I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hey, it's Mr. 305, thick thighs. You know what I mean? I'm down here in Miami, Florida, and it's great. It looks like the movies, I got to say. They really nailed it. Miami, you really make it look like the movie. So it's not like those other cities you go to. You're like, this isn't like the movies. This is exactly
that's
like
a segment we should remember. Yeah, that's a segment we should remember to do in the future. Like, biggest difference movie to reality versus like ones that live up to the hype. I agree. Miami looks exactly like you're expecting it to. I feel like I am coming to you from the location that might be the opposite end of the spectrum. Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood is not. The looks on the tourist's face, those German families walking down Hollywood Boulevard, spirits broken.
No, we've sold you vaporware. I'm sorry. Whereas, like, you look out, like, in Miami, the bay, like, there's people just flying on jet skis, like, laughing. Yeah. And, like, I feel like, you know, you open the door to a business and, like, the Miami Sound Machine is, like, playing, and you're like, okay, all right.
Where is Stefan is, like, just welcoming you to the restaurant.
Yeah, there's people doing timbale solos on every corner. It's really energizing. It's electric down here.
If you want to get a t-shirt that says Hollywood Boulevard on it, though, Hollywood is your place.
Yeah. That
so
and the,
many of them.
That one hoodie that says California, like broken on three lines with the bear in the middle. They got those two for everybody.
Oh, man. Like 14 different shops per block. So
you know what else is wild? So many places down here lean into the Miami Vice colorscape. You know what I mean? Like, you will see the turquoise with the pink just popping off, like in like a lit fountain, a lit palm tree. It's wild how much, like, and I'm guessing because, like, you know, Miami, it's all about cocaine and shit. Like, how that, like, that's part of the ethos or like the aesthetic of the city. It's like, hey, man, we get it. Cocaine did a hell of a lot for this town. And we will honor it.
Yeah. I mean, how much of the Miami Vice color palette was influenced by reality versus, you know?
Yeah. How much was Miami Vice?
But I do. They are making wise decisions. Like the time the Miami Heat had a uniform that was designed in that color palette, it was kind of one of the dopest NBA uniforms of all time. Anyways, enough bullshit, Miles.
Yeah.
We are thrilled to be joined again by one of our very favorite first-time guests, a very funny comedian. You've seen places like their stand-up special, Gentleman Elf, on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Internet Flickers is what I call it, but other people shorten it to Netflix.
Okay.
Their comedy has hundreds of millions of views on YouTube. Their stand-up has been described as slick, silly brilliance with effortless charm that lets them get away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
And as of the last time they were on, they hadn't yet cashed in the murder chip, being able to get away with murder.
Hopefully we'll have a development there, though.
That's going to be our first question, just to prepare you. Please welcome back to the show the brilliant and hilarious Deanne Smith!
Hi, guys. I wish I could do the same thing you do, the yelling into the mic, the leading away. I'm like, I have some coffee. I'm trying to work on my energy here.
No, you're fine. We're the ones. Yeah. We're the ones working through stuff on Mike.
No, I love it. And have I yet cashed in on the murder? No, but I'm thinking about it.
These NYPD.
I mean, the main thing keeping me from killing a cop right now is the pressure to write a manifesto. Quite frankly, I don't want to have to.
It's like you gotta have a manifesto.
Writing's hard. I'll do anything to procrastinate.
There's nothing more horrifying for a writer than to look at that blinking cursor on a blank new document. You know, where do we go from here?
I wonder in the cosmic scheme of things how many murders are prevented by procrastination. You know,
I'd imagine a good amount.
There's got to be a fair few.
Yeah. There's like a, you know, like Chris Rock bit about how like they just need to make bullets more expensive. And that'll help.
Yeah.
It's like I would kill you, but I need like a little bit more time to afford these bullets. And then, you probably do some time, think about it, and then you go on with your day.
And here's where, in years past, I would have gone off on a 45-minute tangent about the British coal gas study. But I'm a better man now. So
7 years in.
Say, go Google the British coal gas study and find out why that Chris Rock bit would actually work, would actually lower homicides and suicides. But Deanne, we're thrilled to have you back.
Yeah.
How have you been?
Aside from not doing murders.
Yeah, you know, not doing murders has started to take a toll. How have I been? I've been, I think, like the collective consciousness, losing my mind a bit, witnessing a genocide in real time. You know, personally, I was going to be like, personally, life is good, but how can anything be, you know? So, I'm there.
Yes.
And yeah. I can't stop thinking about it or talking about it.
And you're not heartened by those like very like lightly optimistic stories. You're like, well, behind closed doors, Joe Biden does not like what Netanyahu is.
Oh, he called Bibi a motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. You're like, and was ceasefire? Or we just get this? Like, he doesn't like him, though. Oh, okay.
You know, I am heartened, though, by the idea that we are witnessing the collapse. We don't need to wait for things to be different. This is what it looks like when capitalism collapses and colonialism hopefully is on its way out. It's just a question of building the new future. That sort of thing brings me hope. But it's a lot to ask from a person so anxious that I literally have to take anxiety meds before I give my 5-pound chihuahua her anxiety meds when we travel. So, because I'm afraid of overdosing her. Yeah. So to ask this mind, this anxious mind, to have hope for a new future, it's hard.
Yeah. I do like that you are using the airport oxygen mask rule when giving yourself and your chihuahua.
Absolutely. You got to take care of yourself before you can take care of anybody else. Yeah.
What if you take yours and you're like, uh-oh. My shit just got right and I went too hard on the anxiety meds.
That is so funny. I pulled down the oxygen mask just mid-flight, just for a little bit of
just pop it open.
They're like, fresh air.
They should offer that. I feel like an airline, you know, they're getting competitive in very weird ways. I feel like they might as well.
On-demand oxygen, like, hey, man, if you just want to vibe out, just fucking here. Rather than the thing we all have to do. I already pictured Deanne. You got like a fucking screwdriver on you, and you just popping the fucking mask out from the top. Fuck if the cabin pressure changes. Give me this fucking O2.
Yeah. Listen, I can see it too. And I my girlfriend lives in LA, so I do a lot of cross-country flights. Yeah. And I recently just had the most beautiful stereotypical experience. The guy sitting next to me was reading a book that looked like it didn't look like a bestseller. It looked like a little self-published kind of book. And it was about like how to be a good actor. Oh. We were flying from New York to LA and he was highlighting passages and it melted my heart. It felt so stereotypical and amazing, which is to say, I feel like if anyone's just trying out oxygen on a flight, it's the people going between New York and LA.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We need it.
Oxygen bar vibes.
That feels like sounds like such a grifty Amazon book, you know? How to be a good actor. It's like, I read An Actor Prepares and all these other seminal texts for acting, but I need that one. How to get good at it, though? Like, book this gig.
Just bottom line it for me here, okay? Yeah. I don't need all that nuance from the fancy acting teachers. Just bottom line it. Can you, if you can't put it in bullet points for me, fine. But could we like do a Four Dummies?
I think that the real life version is, did you grow up in New York or Los Angeles? No. I mean, I don't know. You got a rich parent that can maybe bankroll a film for you. I don't know. One of those.
Good luck to you. He was highlighting more than he wasn't highlighting. And it was,
I love that.
It was incredible.
Oh, I've been on that. When you like,
I've done that so often. Yeah.
Isn't it sort of fucked up though too? Like as you do it, you're like, man, what's the fucking? I'm basically saying this whole goddamn chapter is good. Like
if I'm highlighting, that's me in screenshots at the moment. I'm just like screenshotting everything. I'm like, this resonates. This makes sense. And I'm like, I'm never going back to this stuff.
The aliens are going to be puzzling over this one.
Deanne, what's your last? What's one of your recent screenshots you can share with the
class?
Oh
my gosh, that's a good question. Oh goodness. This was just something I wanted to go back to. Literally, my last screenshot is the billionaire Resnick family has been lobbying for years to start a war with Iran because Iran is in competition to their pistachio business. The U.S. is such a dystopian shithole that it's being pushed toward world war over a snack food, with a headline that says, California pistachio billionaires funding Israel's occupation regime. And this comes from Dr. _ Cabral on Twitter, I think, via Instagram. This is not someone I follow, but I was like, this is, what is going on? This is interesting. I haven't heard about this before.
Yeah. Whoa. American Stuart Allen Resnick.
This thing goes all the way to the top.
I know.
And the top being pistachios. Yeah.
Wait, what? Resnick's the wealthiest farmer in the United States. Resnick and his wife, Linda Resnick, bought the Franklin Mint in 1986 and sold it in 2006.
Wow.
Wow. Hey, but we got, so this is the same family behind wonderful, like pistachios, palm, like the pomegranate juice, Fiji water,
Wow, wow, wow.
They're the only people who are allowed to officially declare something wonderful.
Right. In America. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And a UCLA Bruin. All right. Well, go Bruins.
Go Bruins. All right. Deanne, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell the listeners a couple of things we're checking in with in the zeitgeist. We're going to check in with the CIA conspiracy theory, mm-hmm. how popular it is, like what people are thinking. It just passed a big one in the polling. So we're going to check in with that. We're going to talk about Navalny, Putin's main foe, Alexei Navalny's mysterious death in prison. So I guess not mysterious, suspicious, but not yeah. The mystery is pretty.
It's what manner solved. What manner of murder occurred?
How did he get murdered?
Right.
He died of sudden. The Russian authorities announced the cause of death as sudden death syndrome, which sounds like the title of a movie in which Steven Seagal plays a doctor who gets loose, like when terrorists take over his hospital. Like, sudden death syndrome is wild.
Wasn't that just a Van Damme? That's a Van Damme movie, right? Sudden death?
Sudden death, yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
sudden
yeah,
death yeah. Syndrome.
Sorry, yes.
He needs to be a doctor.
Yeah. Oh, that's also Peter Hyams. He's the person who did Time Cop. I'm familiar with his work.
Can it be a syndrome? I feel like syndromes are ongoing.
Right.
I don't know
the definition. I was surprised that this was a thing that they weren't saying through peals of laughter, you know, like they reported it and people were like, which is a term that is used occasionally to describe, you know, cardiac
yeah.
arrest. Essentially.
Or it's like the thing the cops say, like what we've talked about in previous episodes, excited delirium, where they're like, yeah, that's how that yes. person died in custody. Just because they're yeah. they were just too, you know, innocent in our custody.
Too excited. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. We will talk about New York just took a big hit.
Yeah.
Both the dumbest guy from Shark Tank and the guy from who made Dilbert have said that they are going to take their business elsewhere. Thank you very much, New York, because of the Trump fines. So we'll just check in with New York, see how they're doing. And then we'll get our immediate answer on how they're doing because the NYPD has a dance team that appeared on local news shows that I had a hard time believing was real, but is in fact
so real.
Real. It's a real thing that they
yeah.
spent money on. There are uniforms. And anyways,
there
we'll
are uniforms.
Check in with it. Yeah. Right. Neither side of the aisle seems psyched about this one.
No.
So we'll get to that plenty more. But first, DM, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, the literally most recent thing, because I knew this question was coming, and I was pleased to know I can actually say the most recent thing was last night around 3 a.m. I was Googling Sopranos last episode, the season finale of Sopranos.
Series
revisiting.
Finale.
Series finale, that's yeah. right. Season 6 finale, series finale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I needed to read about the theories. This is the second time I've seen it, but I was recently revisiting Sopranos on a flight from New York to LA. They have the first 3 episodes of season 1. And I was like, let me bookend this. Let me watch the final episode again.
Is that JetBlue?
That was on Delta.
Oh, I was on one, or maybe it was. I was on JetBlue, and there's like, it was just so funny. You see, like, we only got the first 3 episodes of like a season. You're like, yeah. I get it. It's just to get you through the flight. And I was starting to watch The Curse, the Nathan Fielder show. And I don't know if either of you have seen the show, but there's some interesting frontal nudity in the first episode that was not censored in the thing. And like the person sitting next to me on the flight, like kind of broke their neck, seeing like, what are you watching over here? I'm like, it's Nathan Fielder's prosthetic penis. Just don't, it's right. not real. It's, and I,
oh, wow. Yeah. That's an incredible thing to be watching on a flight.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, Victor just said, bad show to watch in public. Yeah, thank you. Noted, duly noted, producer Victor.
I feel like they should market thusly. That's wild that they have it as like exclusive to Delta. Nathan yeah, Fielder's right, latest right. show with full yeah. frontal joke nudity.
Check it out.
Yeah. What, Deanne, what's something you think is overrated?
Overrated at the moment? I mean, this isn't even a joke answer. I would just say overrated at the moment is kind of like a feeling of hopelessness and a dedication to, quote, peace as it refers to being apathetic. I'm thinking of, you know what? I'm thinking of former white spiritual-ish girlies mm-hmm. on Instagram mm-hmm. calling for peace for everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
just like that, huh?
I don't know. I think when we're witnessing a genocide, we have to get out there and agitate and vote with our energy and attention and actions. You know, just kind of sitting back and having peace in your heart for all beings is not good enough.
Yeah. Well, that's because I think, yeah, inevitably when you're like, well, what do I do about oppression? And you're like, oh, well, I got to do all that. Let me just send a vibes postcard out to the internet.
I meant more like emoji based. What do I do about oppression?
Yeah. Like, is there an emoji I can post?
That's kind of my media of choice.
Direct action. Yeah. Really, when I just read up on that, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Peace fingers in every shade that emoji offers you should be good enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. A rainbow of peace, you know?
Truly.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Listen, I also knew this question was coming. I'm being in the moment, but you mentioned this off the top of the show. I was going to say Corn Chex, which is what I had for breakfast.
Oh, shit.
Okay. I think they're simple, they're basic, they're gluten-free, which is important to me, and they feel like little blankies on your tongue. The waffle weave of a Corn Chex. That's unbelievable. Blankie, huh? But you brought up Chex Mix.
I know.
Mix
I was just
thinking,
no, but I was like, whenever the sensation for me in my mouth, it's not to let that thing chill on my tongue. It's like crush those little. I think the crunch of it is one of the most satisfying ones of the cereals.
I take each and every one like a Eucharist wafer personally.
yes. But even if they get a little too soggy, they're just sweet little blankets.
Yeah.
There is a kind of a light sweetness to Corn Chex also that, you know, it's not like
that's not by mistake.
Sweetened Chex. Cereal. It's that's not by mistake.
That's
folks.
Not by
they,
mistake.
They made it taste good on purpose.
Yeah. There's 11. Engineers and scientists that know the perfect just ratio of bit. Crunch and sweetness. Yeah.
That is what our greatest scientists are doing. Like for a while there, they were working on the Manhattan Project. They moved to the moon landing. And then since then, they've just been making food taste as good as possible.
Yeah.
Junk
they're
food.
Like that. Yeah. It's a mushroom cloud of flavor, dude, in your mind. That's how they're like, yeah, that's how
the mouthfeel, though. The mouthfeel.
Exactly. Kaboom.
Yeah.
Maybe capitalism isn't all bad.
Right?
It's bringing us these snack foods.
Hey, your words, not ours. I'm glad we got you there, though. Glad we got you there.
Very good at inventing Baja Blast and, you know, giving Dorito, nacho cheese flavored Doritos, the great experience that they give you where you just can't stop eating them. It's exactly. It's bad for you in the long run, but, you know, it will kill you. But you'll have that like one moment of like vaguely dissatisfied bliss where you're like, I think I have to keep eating these forever. And science is like, we fucking
That's
did it,
exactly
you guys.
Exactly what it is. Vaguely dissatisfied bliss. I'm going to try to remember this as I'm just housing snacks. Trader Joe's usually. Those guys, those scientists are on top of it.
Oh, maybe they know this instead of death. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but the Trader Joe's snacks, some of them, like, they hit just enough that you're like, oh, these are okay, but not quite as good as other things sometimes. I'm like, you found the exact middle, Trader Joe's. I don't know how. But, yeah.
Their peanut butter filled pretzels are so much better than the ones that you get anywhere else. I got to say, Trader Joe's, really, they figured it out.
Yep. But they haven't figured out our phone number for those free peanut butter pretzels. So. You know, work on that. Work on that, TJ.
I do have it out. I'm just waiting. And Trader Joe's is an unspoofable number. So I will believe you if you call me and say you're Trader Joe's.
Hello, I'm calling from Trader Joe's. I need your social security number in order to send you some free stuff. Oh, if not, God. I will transfer you to the CIA, who will arrest you.
The number just comes up, Joe Trader. It's me.
Yeah. What? Damn. Miles, big news.
Yeah, you,
we're back,
you pick up
baby.
You just pick up the phone like this, Jack. Well, well, well. Been waiting for your call a long time.
You
dipshit.
Son of a bitch.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm changing my underrated. Underrated is answering any phone call. Well.
Look who came crawling back.
I didn't have this on my bingo card, or maybe I did.
Oh, God. The bingo card.
Fuck
off with the bingo cards, please. By the way, I do feel like I did a bad job and rushed past the 3 a.m. Sopranos last episode Googling a little quickly. Did you find a theory? I feel like this is another, like, You know, the internet has wrought so many bad things, but one of the highlights was early days, Sopranos final episode, and then everybody immediately analyzes it, like every shot, like it's a Renaissance right. painting, which it kind yeah. of was. What did you find anything new?
Not new, you know, maybe new to me because I hadn't really gone yeah. down that rabbit hole before. I have purposely not read anything by David Chase. I'm kind of saving that. I get weird like that. I'm like, I'm savoring. Yeah. Let me see what he has to say later. One theory I liked was that the members only jacket guy. I don't remember. Tony's at the diner with his family. Yeah, there's counter. A guy that comes and sits down. And people were saying, listen, if he's really the assassin, he's not sitting there trying to expose his face and let everybody remember him. Like, why is he sitting at the diner counter for 5 minutes before right. all this happens so that people can recognize him? One theory that I thought was interesting was that he just happened to show up at that diner and was maybe a family member of somebody that Eugene. Tony or Tony's people had whacked. Yeah, so it was kind of a spontaneous thing. He just saw an opportunity. So he like took a minute at the bar to gather his courage, went to the bathroom, came back, made it happen. I thought that right. was a great idea. I also had not considered, some people were saying that Carmela gave Tony up because she picked the restaurant. I hate to believe that. And I refuse to.
Hey, I mean, why? I mean, it's not like, he was the best partner. So. Like, yeah, you know,
true,
I get
it.
But you like to romanticize that sort of like mob marriage thing where it's like, yeah, till the fucking wheels come off.
I probably do. And I conflate, unfortunately, I conflate Tony Soprano with James Gandolfini, who you cannot help but love that actor.
Yeah.
Like his
yeah.
choices are unbelievable. He just has to be the most emotionally in tune person to be able to act like that. I just love him. So I right. know I'm supposed to hate Tony Soprano, but I kind of can't because of
that is
Jim's
the trick.
Sweet face. Yeah.
That's how they did it.
Yeah. The members only jacket, I think, is the most interesting, like sort of one where you really think about it, because that's a reference to Eugene Pontecorvo, who is the guy who like hung himself after he was trying to cash out and move to Florida. And like then the feds are like, dude, there's no way, like you have to stay in it. And remember, he was showing his wife, like there's that whole thing where he's like, this is the house for us, babe. And then he like his life tragically ends. And like a lot of people, that theory is like because Eugene was a members only wearing mobster. That it's like, this is the thing coming back. That's like, that's the more interesting one versus like,
yeah,
it could have been anybody.
I didn't rewatch the whole series, but now that you're saying that, I'm like remembering that happened.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn. Miles is up on his literature.
Yep.
All right.
Never heard of, you know, these other weirdos like, I don't know. What's that one book you kept trying to get me to read, Jack, about the ravens or something?
Yeah, I'm always trying to get you to read Edgar Allan Poe.
One poem, which is a book now about the ravens.
That and Catcher in the Rye,
or
man.
Chaucer, whatever. Yeah, miss me with that, dude.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the shit that is happening in the zeitgeist. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We are.
And the CIA, the conspiracy theory that Taylor is a psyop for the CIA to get Joe Biden elected is gaining popularity. Yeah. Seemingly, it sounds like this poll actually raised its profile just by asking people about it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because this Monmouth poll asked, quote, this is the question. Do you think a covert government effort for Taylor Swift to help Joe Biden win the presidential election actually exists or not? With only three response options, exists, does not exist, or don't know. 18% said exists. Does not exist, wow. 73%. Don't know, 9%. 2% of respondents said, I have never heard of Taylor Swift. So good for you.
Wow.
But like, yeah, that's the
most surprising detail here.
Yeah. People are like, huh? What? No, what you're talking about. But apparently, but as it breaks down by party, it's 32% of conservatives are like, yep, there's definitely some kind of thing going on. There's some kind of plan here with the government and Taylor Swift. It's just that to compare, I think they were asking about other conspiracy theories. So if 18% of total respondents said this thing absolutely exists, only 10% were flat earthers. So this is picking up. This is bigger than flat earthing right now.
That wasn't 10% of the people who thought Taylor Swift. That is 10% total of the population, flat 10%, earthers.
Yeah, flat earthers. Or like a larger poll about conspiracy theories, 10% was about where the flat earth theory went. And in this one, we got 18%. But I think, you know, the thing with polls like this is we have no idea like how actually like bout it people are when it comes to how intensely they hold this belief, because it is worth noting that 42% of the people that said they did believe this was a thing had never heard of this theory prior to being asked in the poll.
But that almost makes it way scarier because it's such a convincing conspiracy theory to a certain mind shape that all you need to do is be like, huh? And they're like, yes, sir. Till the day I die, yes, sir.
I need to interject. Do we think it's completely insane to believe this? Because I personally wouldn't put anything past the CIA. And we know that the US government uses Hollywood at times to put the messages out there that they want the American people to believe.
I think right now it's hard to see what pro-Biden messages to Taylor Swift is putting out.
Absolutely. And what a horrific choice we have. But
yeah, but I think, you know, more than that, it all started with this like stupid right wing thing where they completely misinterpreted a presentation by someone who is loosely affiliated with the Department of Defense, that they're like, and that means the CIA is doing this, because it's like a hypothetical about how celebrities can use social influence, like there could be social media influence campaigns. But the other hypothetical characters in this presentation were like Taylor Swift and like Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. And like they completely leave that part out in their like analysis.
I guess, the more I'm reflecting, I'm like, well, when we look at what's actually happening, like what Biden put on social media during the Super Bowl, that absolutely horrific red
dark
laser
Brandon
eye, just like we planned it, Chiefs thing, like completely tone deaf disgusting, horrifying, that that same campaign does not seem capable of, you know, the kind of more covert writing, machinations. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, it depends on what we're talking about, right? Like, if we're saying that Taylor Swift was created in a lab, like, I feel like that is the implication a lot of the time, right, is that Taylor Swift is created in a lab and, like, that they are shoving her down people's throats to try to get Joe Biden elected. Like, and that feels like they're underestimating how popular Taylor Swift is and how, like, yeah, that there's, but if they're just saying, like, the Biden campaign would love to use Taylor Swift's influence to help them get elected, that's true of every politician who has ever existed. And it feels like they are just discovering the concept of advertising for the first time.
Right.
Like, in a lot of cases, like, they're just psyop.
And automatically ruling themselves out. I mean, who's to say that these hard right wingers couldn't have captured the heart and mind of Taylor Swift if they tried? You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah, no. Exactly. With just their draconian policies aren't bringing the girls to the yard. Oh, that's weird.
Pretty shocking.
Yeah, but it's funny too, because, like, conservatives earnestly would be like, that's fine because we have Vanilla Ice and Ted Nugent and Kid Rock. And you're like, oh, so maybe you really do. I mean, from that perspective, they do think of, like, well, we have our people who also are really cool that, you know, have the people's ears. But this one does feel like, to your point, Jack, like, I don't know what exactly it is. Is it the paranoia? Is it that Taylor is now just, like, the physical embodiment of the right wing's suspicions that maybe they're the baddies, you know?
Yeah.
When it's like, no,
seems like it.
It can't be. It's Taylor. It's Taylor that would be the reason that anything that, you know, that would make Trump lose.
We also can't underestimate just good old fashioned misogyny. It's baked into every criticism of Taylor Swift.
Right.
Some of which are legitimate, but it's always there.
I wonder, like, is there an act that you, like, when I think about it, right? Because a real op would seemingly be like this thing, like, I don't know, they're not that fucking popular, but why the fuck are they everywhere? Like, I don't even know anybody who fucking likes this shit. I feel like the Pussycat Dolls maybe could have been a CIA op. We're like, for a while, like, all right, we get it. But, like, y'all are still here? Or,
well, they're certainly industry plants, for sure.
Sorry, can you remind me of a Pussycat Dolls song? I know I've heard
pushing
them, but I can't.
Pushing on your buttons, babe, uh-huh. Making, you know, Buttons? Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, look.
No.
But Nicole Scherzinger, you know, was the head one, and then there was Carmeet. There's a lot. Y'all weren't there? I was there.
Remember I was, Pussycat, like, I think I was maybe old for it or something. It just missed me.
And Don't Ya, that was their big hit. Don't Ya Wish Your Girlfriend Wasn't Hot
That one
like
caught me.
Okay, that was them.
That got my ass, I gotta say. That was a bop. Can confirm. Was alive for that. But yeah, I don't know.
Or like Chance the Rapper, maybe.
Maybe Chance the Rapper was off. I was caught up in the early Chance the Rapper stuff.
Well, you know, he's part of that Chicago political machine too. So, you know, don't take your eye off the ball.
But yeah, it's a weird, like, it's kind of weird how predictable it was that Trump's supporters would turn on Taylor Swift, because it does feel like we live in a bipolar power world. Like in the 80s, it was the US and Russia. I feel like we are now in the Trump Swift era, and they're the only ones who can exist. Like, they're going to battle, like, wage the stupidest battle on one another.
Right.
And I don't like the MAGA folks' chances. On the other hand, they do seem willing to do very stupid things.
Yeah. Maybe a remake of Red Dawn, but Red Taylor's version, Dawn.
Wow.
I don't know. Just saying. The material's there, folks. Just feed it into fucking ChatGPT and it'll shit out a script that Hollywood can make.
They'll shit out an entire film with dead eyed cats roaming a wilderness.
Yeah.
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 Anyways, we're giving them too much good material.
Yeah. Sorry. That's free.
Moving on to a tragedy, Alexei Navalny, a brave person, foe of Vladimir Putin, stood up to Vladimir Putin, was jailed for standing up to Vladimir Putin.
No, it was 19 years for extremism.
Oh, right.
That's the charge. He's too extreme for 19 years.
Ugh. Yeah, he has died while in prison after being like moved to a, you know, super heavy, what's it called? Like lockup prison, like heavy like security, high security prison, like up in the, above the polar circle. Like they're just
Arctic Circle, yeah.
Arctic Circle. Anyways, nailed that, that description of what's going on here. But yeah, his mother was told that the cause of death was sudden death syndrome, which is a vague term for different cardiac syndromes that cause sudden cardiac arrest and death. But I think there's near universal suspicion that he was poisoned, since that seems to be how Russia does their business for the most part. And adding to that suspicion, his mother must wait 14 days to receive her son's body as authorities conduct a chemical examination, which 14 days also happens to be about the amount of time that it would take for traces of one of their favorite nerve agents to poison people with to disappear from his body. So,
yeah, it's that sudden death syndrome that, you know, he's been claiming, he's like, dude, they're gonna do something here. And it's wild, like a ton of people, there's like, seemed to be like an outpouring of grief for people in, like from people in Russia who I think were probably taking a risk laying flowers at like a memorial site. But then like the fallout too is really wild too, because then, you know, his wife, who's like his widow, who has now sort of said like, I'm going to help continue his message, his work, because a lot of people are like, this is a pretty powerful moment for the opposition to Putin's government. Like then she was like temporarily blocked on Twitter after she said that. And then I was like, what the fuck's going on? But again, obviously Elon Musk seems to have an eye on Russian interests at times, like when he was, you know, changing like the Starlink satellites that were at one point helping the Ukrainian military. And he's like, let me just kind of pause these for a second. Let this opposition army catch up really quick. But I think the one thing the internet can agree on, at least on the wacky side of it, is that maybe it wasn't Putin and maybe it was the fucking COVID vaccine, because there are a ton of people who are now just being like, this is one from this like quote unquote nurse who has like a blue check on Twitter. The West is blaming Putin for Alexei Navalny's death, but according to autopsy results of Navalny, cause of death is a blood clot in the heart. Doctors suspect it was caused by the Pfizer vaccine. Apparently, Navalny was vaccinated 4 times. I don't think a doctor ever said that at all, but that's just where we're at now. People are just like, oh, that guy died suddenly. Yep. COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
There are other ones who are saying like it was the Sputnik one that was made by the Russian government that wasn't an mRNA vaccine. It's fucking all over the place.
She somehow had access to this information as well. You'll find it was a blood clot.
Yeah.
That's what the doctors are saying. Okay, nurse, with a blue check.
My sources.
Yeah.
What's your source? Somebody with a blue check.
As someone who just created this story for the purposes of this tweet, it occurs that the Pfizer vaccine is the official cause of death.
It's being said, most notably by me right here, that it was a blood clot caused by the Pfizer vaccine. Trump also weighed in on Navalny's death on Truth Social in a like truly incoherent even for him. He was like, Navalny's death is really making me think about how they're out to get me. It's like, wait, you're like buddies with the
Elegant.
Guy who killed? Interesting.
No. But forget that part. Yes. What I'm saying is it's real freaky out there. And, you know, who knows if so maybe people don't like my sneakers. If Louboutin sues me for copyright infringement about my sneakers, that's kind of like I'm getting Navalny'd. Which is the evolution of the sneaker thing now, is people are pointing to the fact that because those sneakers that he unleashed on our eyes over the weekend are red bottomed.
And some of our feet.
Yes.
Not going to say who.
All right.
But they're just not very comfortable.
Let's just say they're not true to size, as the homies said on the message boards.
And you guys will notice that I'm being lit from below by a golden glow, like the Pulp Fiction briefcase that has nothing to do with any shoes that I happen to be wearing or not wearing.
Yeah, but, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Deanne, you a sneakerhead?
I can't say that I am.
No.
Although.
No. You missed out. You missed out on a cool pair.
I did read, like, a year ago, I got some Onitsukas. Is that how you pronounce
Asics?
That? Yes.
Yeah.
Did you say Asics?
Yeah.
No, Tiger, like Tiger Onitsuka.
Yeah, Onitsuka Tiger is a...
Is it also Asics?
Yeah, it's like a sub-brand of Asics.
Ah, okay, so I am talking to a sneakerhead. I will just tell you that these like yellow high tops caught my eye, captured my heart in a shop in Melbourne. I had to get them. And I always receive compliments on these shoes. What I hold back from saying every time is these are my coolest shoes.
Yeah.
But I could see how someone could become a sneakerhead if I'm going to put on cool shoes and walk out and have people notice not just the shoes, but me, and project these qualities of fashion onto me. I see how that could happen.
As someone with low self-esteem, I can't recommend it highly enough. Getting like a couple nice pairs of sneakers, a nice initial investment, and then you no longer have to have a personality. You know, just they're great.
It does make the outfit pop. My issue is that I don't keep them as fresh as I feel like they should be kept. You know, I'm not taking care of them when I get home. I'm not like... not wearing them on the street and putting them on, get inside places. I feel like that's how people do it.
I remember they really, the yellow ones, they're called the Mexico 66s, the yellow with the black. They really became popular because of Kill Bill, when Uma Thurman's character was wearing them in the Kill Bill like stuff.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. I just feel the need to tell you, mine are yellow with yellow. There's no black.
Oh, okay. No, okay.
It's pure yellow.
Yellow and yellow.
I see.
Actually, they're the Trump shoes. They're gold, actually.
They're bright gold.
They're gold. Hold on, Deanne. Let me see them really quick. Yeah, those are the Trump sneakers. Oh, huh. Well, good enough.
Also, just, you know, not to make it one-sided, because Trump commented on Navalny. Navalny also, before he died, in I think it was his last letter or one of his last letters to a friend, commented on Trump. And, you know, Navalny, not somebody who scares easily. Like at the time in a Russian prison, being imprisoned and guarded by like the most famous, powerful murderer in the world. So not someone who scares easily, described the prospect of a new Trump administration as very scary. So, you know, so mutual admiration society, I guess you could say. Navalny liked me.
He knew.
Moving along.
Yeah. Not wrong. Ugh. I feel like I need to interject. I want to confess something to you both. I don't have much to say about this other than for sure he was poisoned and what a world.
Yeah.
What a world. Right. But this is all reminding me. I'm like, I'm in my head like, what do I have to say about Russia? And I will tell you briefly about the time I very accidentally insulted a member of Pussy Riot. So they were here in New York in December. I have a Russian journalist friend. He got us VIP tickets. We're hanging out. I met a lovely member of Pussy Riot called Olga. She introduced herself because we were waiting for a minute with our names on the list, and she thought she had inconvenienced us. So when I met her, she extended her hand and she said, "Hi, it's me, dumb cunt Olga," because something had messed up. And I was like, this is hilarious. This woman has a great sense of humor. They absolutely rocked the show. It was incredible. It felt like, honestly, it felt like they were teaching us as Americans, like how to dissent, how to rebel. Mm. This is what you do when your government gets really extreme. It was an incredible show. We're hanging out afterwards, and somehow, at some point during the evening, it came up. Olga said something like, "You know, in Russia, I would be considered fat," or something. I don't know how that came up. We're in an Uber on the way to a strip club, and I was like, "Oh, that's wild." She's just like a very normal sized person. Later in the night, I banked this comment. I banked what I thought was her sense of humor, and I made a joke that did not land. And I go, "Wow. I can't believe here I am partying with the fattest woman in Russia." And it was, listen, if we shared the same sense of humor, she would absolutely, hilarious. Right. You're taking what I said, you're yes-anding it, you're cranking up the extreme. Of course, this isn't true. I introduced myself as a dumb cunt, actually. So this all makes sense. It fell completely flat. And then I was like, I gotta get out of here. here.
Ah, you just jumped through a window.
Yeah.
The nearest window.
Fuck it.
It was all going so well. I felt cool for a minute partying with the members of Pussy Riot.
It sounds so much like mine. It's crazy. I can't believe we don't see each other. Like, just like, you know, going to strip clubs with Pussy Riot together.
I mean, I think that's about right. I think some part of me just had to tank it, you know? Let them see you. You're not cool enough to hang. You can't. Right. You can't actually read the room.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was actually the interesting theory about that New York Magazine financial analyst who got scammed, and everybody like read the piece and were like, this still doesn't really make sense that she went through all this. And eventually people were just like, no, I think she like part of her knew and just like wanted to tank her life to like make it more interesting or something, to like, she was just like, I think I have too much money.
Right.
Like some part of her.
She's like, I actually have $50,000like cash next to me. I can just put in the shoebox and see if a car actually shows up. That'll be kind of weird.
But I don't know the story.
You got to read the cut financial analyst who put, I think it was $50,000 in a shoebox and gave it to scammers. It's
got a call from Amazon. Amazon said someone's abusing your identity. And then they got a call from the FTC, the Financial Trade Commission, who then gave a badge number and is like, you're in trouble. But now I gotta bump this up to the CIA. And then the CIA person's like, $50,000 in a shoebox, a white Escalade will pull up, just roll down the window, put it in and move on with your day, and everything is done. And they did it.
That's incredible. I do need to read this. That's incredible. That is a feeling like you want your life to be a movie. You're definitely asking for drama because there's no way that's real. There's no way that's real.
Yeah.
The personal finance columnist for the New York Magazine's The Cut.
Tell you what she might have been, though. Sneakerhead. There she was with $50,000 and a shoebox.
That's
a lot of stuff to have ready.
I hang on to my shoeboxes. I will tell you that much.
Right.
I'm like, these, even though they're beat to shit, I might resell them on the market for,
you never know,
$12.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take one more break and we'll come back and close it out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back.
We're back.
Oof. And this has the record for me for the video this year that I had the most difficult time believing. Like, it just doesn't seem like it could be true. Like, just so the NYPD has a dance team. They appeared on a local news show performing a routine to Flo Rida's "Club Can't Handle Me," presumably because they thought that the track was about clubbing peaceful protesters. It was the performance is like that. That is wild enough, right? It's like,
yeah,
I can't believe the NYPD has a dance team, but they are a mess. Like, they are not together at all. It seems like, it seems like a sketch. Like,
it feels like a Nathan For You bit, like, to get people on the news, like, just to pretend you're the NYPD dance team and just see if, like, a local news station would bite. Because it's like so low energy. I mean, the performance has like this eerie feeling, like, oh yeah, these are like people, like state-sanctioned murderers dancing for our enjoyment.
This is what dance looks like when it's done by soulless people.
Yeah.
And like, I'm an abolitionist, but I believe everyone on that dance team should absolutely be jailed for life after the the lack of rhythm in that performance.
Yeah.
So they, like, the way that some of them aren't even attempting the move, like, it's not that they're like out of sync with one another. Many of them do not appear to be aware of what the others are doing.
That they are performing in public.
Yeah.
Can we give them 19 years for under extremism? Crank up the energy, ladies.
Yeah.
Crank up.
Yeah.
The clip went viral and was condemned by both sides. The left, for obvious reasons, criticizing the NYPD's inflated budget, while on the right, they were upset to see NYPD officers like doing anything that wasn't like attacking migrant invaders,
right,
for five whole minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Just like not violent enough for their police. But it somehow managed to make the National Review care about excessive police budgets for a brief fleeting moment. They had the headline "Defund the Police Dance Team." So like the first half of that sentence, they had it.
Yeah.
But then they just kept going.
And that's it. But what they have, there's so many clubs though, too. They have, like, within the NYPD, I guess you have to have these little groups in order to keep people's heads out of, you know, having like introspective thoughts about the work that they do in their place in society.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Just anything to.
And yeah, move honestly, it along. If you are already in the NYPD, please join a club. Stay out of the house. We don't need more domestic violence in your house. So everything you can do,
please,
stay out of your house and
keep
off the streets.
Safe. Yeah. Join a club.
Get them in the clubs.
They've got a paintball club. They've got a chess club. They're contemplating a knitting circle. So they can't be that bad. They do shit you're a normal non-murderer would do.
Yeah. You know, when this went viral, they went into crisis mode. And one of the members of the dance team and the deputy commissioner of communications went back on that same TV show days later and stressed that no taxpayer money is being used for the team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So who paid for those uniforms, those custom-made uniforms?
That was actually...
self-funded?
Have you not bought NYPD cookies? They're like Girl Scout cookies, except they're they have like pieces of broken glass in them.
Yeah.
That's
They're old manhole covers punched into cookie-sized shapes. Like, just chew on these.
But yeah, I mean, the obvious problem with them being like, this is just a harmless way to blow off some steam, is that, you know, like the NYPD chess club is not making TV appearances. Like, this is obviously propaganda to make cops look friendly and arrhythmic, but, you know, like, kind of, look at
they dance like my aunt.
Yeah. Look at them out there trying.
Did it not feel so much like IOF TikToks? Like, we've seen like female soldiers kind of dancing horrifically offbeat.
Yeah.
I had not seen anything like that until recently. And then to have these two examples so close to each other, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It really reminded me a lot of Israeli propaganda.
Oh my God. Yeah. Hand in hand. And I'm proposing to the NYPD, go ahead and take it. You want to capture the hearts and minds of the people, put out ACAB yourself. You go ahead and start saying ACAB, little asterisks. All cops are ballet dancers. Oh. Show me the ballet dance team. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All cops are all
on
cops
their chokeholds would be so good.
Yeah. All cops are belly dancers. Wow.
Ooh, belly dancers? Break dancers? We could keep going.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of break dancers, another thing that people were pointing out is that the idea of a NYPD dance team is pretty wild because just a decade ago, the NYPD was cracking down on rogue dance teams by treating them as if they were violent street gangs, which at least one expert called total madness. But they, like, you know, if you ever lived in New York, like sometimes there would be dance crews that would come on the subway.
Yeah, showtime.
And do
showtime. So
often amazing routines that, and then like ask for money and you were obligated to give it to them because like some of the dancing was so fucking cool. And the NYPD was like, that's actually terrorism. You need to never do that again because, and it turns out it was just because they wanted to have a monopoly on dance teams. they were a rival dance crew.
Right.
I didn't know about them criminalizing dance, but it makes sense. I mean, it checks out. There's nothing more fun than running into Showtime when you're on the subway.
Yeah.
Anybody trying to make that experience more pleasant or more full of art and skill? Yeah, you got my dollars. Absolutely.
It is wild though too, like because this team, like this dance team has been appearing like they've been around now. Like they had two local news appearances prior to this. Then there was a New York Times like puff piece on them, and you're like, okay, yeah, this is a full court PR press thing of like, let's try and get the mood up around the NYPD. Look at them dance. Look at them now.
Are there literally no better dancers? Like, there's got
to
be.
I refuse to believe it. Yeah, there has to be. I think these are the only people that are willing to debase themselves like this to this level to be like, look, I dance. Like, I like to dance, but I'm not letting people know I'm a cop like that. Like it's can barely
yeah,
get a
you know
date
what? You're right.
Hinge.
The good dancers are keeping it low profile.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's funny because this has been like a sort of, I think this was sort of like an organic propaganda trope that emerged over the years. Like in the beginning, there were just like truly like, I guess, spontaneous things or like a cop is like at a local thing and like, oh, this cop can do the robot. And people are like, wow. Like I remember like 15 years ago, you'd see a video like
pop and lock your ass up.
But you know what I mean? And then eventually after they're like, oh shit, like let's create a fucking whole squadron of them, but they can't dance. So
they just didn't have it that night. All right. They just didn't have it that night. That's all right. That's okay. They'll be back another day. Like I feel like that must have been the conversation that happened after where they were just like, oh man. Well, that wasn't our best look, but I mean, it's on a local news show that like 12 people watch. It's no big deal. We'll live to dance another day. And whoops.
You know what's horrible is some of those people are probably feel more publicly shamed for dancing badly than they do for being a cop, obviously.
Yeah.
But if that's what it takes to get people out of the force, let's go.
There you go. Well, Deanne, what a pleasure having you, as always.
Oh, guys, so much fun.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Guys, it's Deanne _Smith on Instagram, Twitter. I can't call it X, you know.
No.
Yeah, I have yet to start a TikTok, but I probably will. And Deanne Smith, the most successful by Google standards, Deanne Smith, that's available. So just go ahead and Google that. And you can catch me on the internet. What did you call it? Netflix? The internet.
Internet flickers,
right?
Internet flickers,
web flickers.
March 5th, there's a little special coming out. I've been calling it Hannah Gadsby Presents Gender Weirdos, but I think they've named it Hannah Gadsby's Gender Agenda. So I have a little 7-minute set, and all the acts are incredible. It's really fun, and Hannah managed to get away with some pretty spicy jokes about Netflix on Netflix. So that's fun.
Wow,
there you go,
amazing. That sounds great. Yeah. And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Yes. Do you know what? I'm going to just generally recommend the Instagram presence of comedian Mohanad El-Sheikhi. And you know what? Yeah. I'm going to send your producer his name because you should have him on. He's incredible. Mohanad El-Sheikhi. Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. So good. You're on top of it. You know this guy. Yeah. He's been keeping me sane. And also recently in the past few weeks, I've discovered on Instagram, Timmons Lisa, that's the username, and she overdubs videos. Like she'll do any like Noah Tishby or Kamala Harris and speaks, gives them new, you know what I'm saying? Like a, what am I saying? Mystery Science Theater 3000 sort of vibes or 2000 sort of vibes. And it's very, very funny. And she manages to make some of this horrific stuff really funny. So I'd recommend both of those people.
We will link off to them in the footnotes. Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, find me on the at base platforms, at Miles of Gray. You like basketball, check out Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties. You like 90 Day Fiance, check me out on 420 Day Fiance. Okay. A couple of tweets I like. First one, just this tweet from The Hill just reads like fucking, I can't believe it's real. It just says, Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren, says The Rock would be in her dream blunt rotation. That's the headline.
That's not real though, right?
No, she was on Pod Save and the Pod Saves dudes were like, all right, who's your dream blunt rotation? And it's like, that's good. Glad we're asking the fucking tough questions of a sitting U.S. senator while, you know, we're shipping off our tax dollars and transforming them into bang bangs. And another one is from just, Aaron Rupar at AT Rupar is just like a person who, you know, monitors stuff on Fox and posts it for all of us to laugh at on Twitter. But this one is from Newsmax. And the anchor on Newsmax is asking Trump's lawyer, Alina Habba, like, what are you going to do now that he's like properly fucked, like with this civil fraud case? And just the vibe of her response to this, I'm just going to play this because you're like, yeah, this is a very serious attorney. And just to set it up, this person on the anchor on Newsmax is asking, like, what are you going to do to appeal this? How are you going to get Donald Trump out of this? So here's the clip.
What are your grounds on appeal here?
What aren't my grounds on appeal is a better question.
Yeah. What aren't my grounds on appeal? This is a very serious response to this.
Got him.
What aren't my fucking grounds?
Your Honor.
Okay. Yeah. You're not debating your fucking stepdad to take the car out. But hey, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. What aren't my grounds on appeal?
Amazing. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Dan White recently tweeted, I'm the reason that no Planet Fitness in the country lets you bring weights into the bathroom, which Dan White is a very strange person. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, I think this is, I want to go out on some Aussie experimental, just rock, you know, if you know King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, you already know, they're a fantastic band. But they have this track, Kepler 22B, that just gets your big toe shooting up in your boot, like the only way they know how to make you respond to their music. And I was like, what's Kepler 22b? It's like a exoplanet that potentially could be a place that we could all live. So I think it's just kind of the vibe of this. Like, oh man, I
would Goldilocks
live out there.
Right?
Yeah. It's a super Earth that could be covered in a super ocean. But people still don't know what's going on. But it's about 2.5 times larger than Earth. But hey, get us there, man. Because, we may have cashed this thing out a little early. So hey, take us to Kepler 22b.
Cashed
this thing, dude.
Humanity just turns to each other in 2032.
Just smoking up, yeah, smoking weed.
It's cashed, actually.
Dude, this shit's cashed, dude, yeah. Throwing a new planet to smoke.
Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.